Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're having a conversation with former Congressman Mike Hill, former congressman for District 1, state of Florida, Florida representative. Congressman Hill is a friend, a brother in Christ, loves the Lord, a conservative Republican that stands for truth. And I'm thankful to call him my friend and having the privilege and opportunity for us to speak on issues that I believe are pertinent, relevant, and needful for us to understand today. Congressman Hill, again, thank you so much for being with us today on the broadcast. I'm looking forward to what God's going to do in the future in relationship to your being in public office to be salt and light in the state of Florida. We need that so much. Congressman, thank you so much again. A couple of other questions that I believe are pertinent to where we are today. As I look at what's taking place on a global basis, I see America in deep, deep, deep trouble morally, ethically, financially, politically. We've murdered some almost 70 million babies in the mother's womb since Roe versus Wade. We've faced now with the sodomite agenda, the LGBTQ, where our children, our grandchildren are being told that the sodomite lifestyle is just an alternative lifestyle. And I'm thankful for our governor in the state of Florida just signed a bill making it illegal for schools in Florida to teach the sodomite agenda to children kindergarten through the fifth grade. Tell us about that bill and why it's so vital, and how the media has made fun and mocked our governor and the state of Florida for doing so.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, I'm also thankful for that bill that was passed. Unfortunately, it did not go through the fifth grade, which was the original intent. The bill sponsor compromised and moved it down to the third grade, which I have a big problem with. You don't compromise with the Democrats. You don't compromise with that evil agenda of trying to force the sodomite behavior, acceptance of that behavior onto our children. First of all, I believe that any type of sex education should not be in our schools, K through 12, all the way up to 12th grade. Sex education should not be taught in our public schools. That is something that should be taught at home.
Yes.
It should be taught between the parents and their children. And if they want to get the church involved with that, that's fine. But it should not be taught at school, period. And what the bill did, which the governor signed into law, and I'm glad he did it, it said that you are not going to discuss, and it wasn't just the LGBTQ agenda, it said any type of a sexual discussion needs to be age appropriate. And so you're not going to talk about the LGBTQ, the transgenderism, or all the other deviant behaviors from K through third grade. So a child K through third grade, that's about 4 years old up to perhaps 7, maybe 8 years old. But then what they are saying is that if a child is starting in the fourth grade, that could be a child as young as 8, maybe 9 years old, who is now being allowed to be taught that deviant behavior, that sodomite behavior, of homosexuality, of the gender dysphoria, and acceptance of it. That an 8-year-old, they're saying it's okay for someone 8 and older to be taught that. That is outrageous, Dr. Youngblood. So even though I'm glad he did sign the bill for those under the age of 8, it should have gone through K-12 and wiped out the entire thing. That would have been the strongest, I believe, godly response that this state could have done.
Absolutely. One other thing, and then we'll take our caller. We'll cover this further. We had several bills that were on the agenda for Florida. One of them was being the constitutional carry, open carry. And I'm not familiar with how that wound up. Do you know the status of that today?
Yes, it failed, Dr. Youngblood, and it failed for this reason. The Speaker of the House, Representative Sprouls, which, by the way, he is no longer, well, he'll be Speaker until November. But this is his last term, his last session. He will be term limited come November. He did not want to give that bill a hearing. He would not give it even a committee hearing. And he refused to allow Representative Chuck Brannon, whose committee was assigned to hear the bill, he would not allow it to receive a committee date where it could be discussed, debated, and so forth. And also, Senate President Wilton Simpson blocked it over in the Senate, where he did not, again, allow it to even get a Senate sponsor over on the Senate side, even though 22 states, correct that, 23, because Governor Ivey in Alabama just signed constitutional carry in the law. It was either Friday or maybe it was Monday, just signed it in the law in Alabama. Essentially, what constitutional carry says is that the Constitution gives me my right to conceal carry a weapon, and that I don't need to pay the state a fee to be able to do that. And that's all it is. You're paying the state of Florida to be able to get your concealed carry fee. And we shouldn't have to do that. We shouldn't have to pay the state in order to have our Second Amendment right to defend ourselves, our family, and our property. So the bill failed. It's gone. Will it come back again next session? I would say doubtful, because the bill sponsor, Anthony Sabatini, is running for Congress, which means he won't be back next year. And the incoming speaker is Representative Paul Renner. He's out of Jacksonville, in fact. And the incoming Senate president, Kathleen Passidomo out of Naples, both of them voted for that horrific bill that became law. Governor Scott signed it into law, that was unconstitutional, and put a severere restriction on our Second Amendment rights shortly after the Parkland shooting.
That's called the Red Flag Law.
The Red Flag Law, that's right, which says that based on an accusation of someone else of your ability, your sanity, or your mental capacity, they're questioning that. If they can call the police on you, the police will then go to a judge who has never evaluated that person, never even seen them, can issue a warrant. They can then go to your home and confiscate your weapons and your ammunition just based on an accusation. You can say that can never happen in Florida. It has happened over thousands of times, most notably in Polk County. And in fact, almost every county in the state has exercised that red flag law. Well, Representative Renner, incoming House Speaker, and Senator Passidomo, incoming Senate President, both voted for that. So I'm not I don't anticipate constitutional carry coming back again unless there is someone who gets elected to the state house who has the courage to bring it up anyway, despite opposition from leadership.
I pray that's the case. One of the things that is sad is when you see the way the sausage is made in Tallahassee, as also in D.C., where you've got the House leadership, the Senate leadership, basically make the decision what they want, and all of the senators and representatives must bow to that or not have any position on any committee. I find it disdainful. Congressman, hold your thoughts for a moment. I believe we have Greg on the line. By the way, Greg is one of our four sons, and he's calling in. Greg, go ahead with your question or comment.
Well, on this fine day, I have things stacking up, but I thought I'd interject just a moment. First off, Your Honor, Representative Hill, you're batting 1,000. You just nailed it on this morning. I love your position on each one of these. When it comes to the carry concealed or the Second Amendment restoration, really is what this legislative act was considering and contemplating. Shouldn't even be there, and we shouldn't have all these laws that stand in the way of the Second Amendment. They try to seize your rights and then sell them back to you. And for decades now, I've been buying that right back. It's a twisted thing. You know, I carry a pocket constitution. That should be well enough. However, on the other bill, and you say, really, it should carry all the way K through 12, and you're absolutely right as well. The government schools have been engaged in what they call sex education for just a few decades, and they've just done such a fabulous job. Our kids are now confused as to what bathroom to use, and they think there are 68 different genders. They're teaching this rubbish in science class, you know, in biology, in psychology, in English class, through all the different pronouns. I was speaking with a 14-year-old the other day, and she says she's having a real rough time wrapping her mind around all these different pronouns. This is a twisted world, and yes, they should completely be out of the business of spreading perversion, and essentially that's all they're doing. But I appreciate you letting me put in my 2 cents worth today. I hope you all have a wonderful day, and we'll talk again soon.
Greg, thank you so much for your call. Congressman, I'm thankful for your position on that, and I have historically said if a county or a state or the federal government can license something and give you the authority based on their ability, it can be taken away at their whim or wish, whereas our Constitution has given us that the rights, and those rights are inalienable rights, and I believe that it is good that we would further look forward to the potentiality of having that back on the top burner for the potential of making it law in the state of Florida. Congressman, let's switch gears a moment. Looking at the article, says Biden executive order outlines plans for central bank digital currency as the U.S. dollar status as the number one world's currency is almost over. The article reads in brief, last week the White House published the executive order ensuring responsible development of digital assets that will pave the way to a central bank digital currency for America while regulating and the possibility of eliminating all competing cryptocurrencies. This is the end game for the Great Reset, which started with the COVID pandemic in 2020 and is being further advanced today with the war in Ukraine. The globalists who run the world's financial systems are mostly bankers, and they know that payday is almost here now. While the masses are mostly clueless and just assume that the world's economy, particularly in the West, will just continue on forever, running up debt, creating fiat cash out of thin air, not realizing that at some point people need to stop consuming and start producing something. The end goal of the globalists here is the complete replacement of fiat currencies and hard cash with digital money that is controlled by the central banks, end quote. I'm familiar with that. What is your take on the potential of fiat dollars, that is, electronic currency? How does it work? Should we be afraid of it? Should it be embraced by society in America? Will it destroy the economic base of America? Where is this headed?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, first I want to say that I'm always thankful and grateful when your son Greg calls in. He always adds such great insight And I always agree with him 100% also.
I am fine, yes.
This whole thing with Biden and the cryptocurrency, which is creating an alternative fiat money. Fiat money means that it is backed only by the good faith and word of that government. It's not backed by any hard currency such as gold and silver, which I believe the United States needs to get back on the gold standard. It was curtailed by FDR initially, and then we were taken completely off the gold standard by President Nixon. And the reason they do that is because it allows them to generate more debt. When a dollar is tied to gold, when it's backed by gold, you must have enough gold present to be able to back each dollar that is printed. So and what that does, so if someone makes a demand on a dollar in gold, say, I want gold in that, there's only a limited amount of gold. And so they're not able to run up as much debt as they want to. So when Nixon took us off of the gold standard, at that time, the American debt skyrocketed, and it has not looked back since. And we are feeling the pressures of that now with inflation under the Biden administration, because they are spending money like crazy. Just, what was it, Monday? The House and Senate passed another $1.5 trillion spending bill.
Yeah,
it's insane, Dr. Youngblood. And where do they get this money? You can only get money from three places. Either you borrow it, you print it, or you raise taxes to get it. And what we are seeing right now is that the United States is printing money at an insane rate. And by the way, that didn't start just with the Biden administration. Trump spent an awful lot of money also. He increased the debt. When Trump came into office, our national debt was at $10 trillion. It went up to $20 trillion. Now it's going over $30 trillion. Obama spent money like crazy, but our last three presidents have spent money there's no tomorrow. And what we are seeing, because the money supply is so great relative to the goods and services available, the value of the dollar drops, and it causes inflation. It causes prices to increase. And we are seeing that firsthand right now. So this whole cryptocurrency thing is just another scheme to create an alternative fiat money so that debt can be amassed, and you don't feel the effects of that until later. And it is setting the stage for a one world government, a
yes,
one world currency, and a one world fiat dollar that everyone would have to use. And you won't be able to buy or sell unless you use that currency.
You touched on the very key element. In fact, I'm told, based on some of the research material that I've done down through the years on this, and since 2014, China has introduced their yuan, that is their currency. And contrary to America, I understand that the currency, the yuan in China, is backed by gold. And as a result of that, I read an article just this morning. I'll read the headlines for two articles. Saudi Arabia reportedly considering accepting the yuan instead of dollars for oil sales. Another one says Saudi Arabia talks with China to pivot away from the U.S. dollar. And right now, China is working with Saudi Arabia. And if Saudi Arabia switches from the petrodollar, petrocurrency, which is in fact U.S. dollars, if they switch to the Chinese yuan, then it's going to undermine and undercut the U.S. dollar. And supposedly, Biden, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and the wicked, wild, the communist, and the Democratic Party They want to be a part of the one world government, as you touched on, and part of it is having a world currency. And if we have a currency that is digitized, and all that you have, as I've said before, that $10 of greenbacks in the shoebox under your bed's worthless, all of your currency, all of your funds are on electronic handheld device. And if you follow what they're doing in China, and we're on the fast track for it in America with the social credit system, you've got to follow what the government says or they cut off your currency, your funds, which are all electronic. Do you see that as a methodology? And you touched on it the latter portion of your statement. Do you see that as a methodology for the coming world order, the coming one world order, wherein the Antichrist will rule and reign? Do you see that as the pattern that we're setting today for that to be used by the Antichrist to control buying and selling and trading and travel?
Yes, Dr. Youngblood. And in fact, we saw it in practice not too long ago in Canada, where those truckers who brought their vehicles to Ottawa and were protesting the draconian measures that of the COVID-19 mandates, that the Canadian government shut off their bank accounts, essentially seized their money because it was electronic. It's not like you can go to the bank and say, hey, give me all my dollars that are in there, make a demand on it like that, when they shut it off, which is exactly what they did. And we saw it in Ukraine, where there was a run on the banks. There are long lines of people at ATMs and at banks trying to get hard cash out before it was all gone and before they shut it off. So what Canada showed us is that they can control your behavior. And China is showing us that you get, as you say, that credit score, that score depending on how you think, how you behave,
yes. Yes.
What you do, you get a score, which will tell you whether or not you can spend your money, what your credit value is, where you can travel, if you can travel at all. It is all setting the stage, Dr. Youngblood, for controlling people, which is going to be completely necessary for a one world government. You must control people for it to work. It cannot be a free nation. United States is free. We're less free than we were when the nation was founded. But freedom is the key to survival for an individual. When they take away your freedom, then the government can control you. And as I say, that is necessary for a one world government. You must be able to control the people.
And part and parcel of that, and another component of that, Matt Stable with the Liberty Council, one of his newsletters just last week said that 21 states already have a QR code for COVID pass. The COVID pass via a QR code to be read by RFID readers, either uplink, satellite, or handheld. And I'm told that in that digitized equation that they can have in that your military record, your police record, your health records, all of your financial records. So I see that, Congressman, as having a chip ultimately will be, as we find in Revelation, the 13th chapter, a chip now. They're being used in Sweden, and the Swedish millennials are ecstatic about having to not have keys or not having to have a wallet, not having to have ID. Everything is stored in that. And now it's frightening to understand that 21 states have already introduced some type of a COVID pass, and in that they can then add all other data about the human being. So I foresee that, just as you said, the coming days we're watching the stage being set, the chessmen being put on the board, when the man of sin, the lawless one, the Antichrist, steps on the scene and will rule and reign. And without that currency, you'll not be able to buy, sell, trade, travel, or anything, and that is taking place in China today. And I foresee that as being part of the puzzle, as you just stated, to bring about a one-world governance. And yet we see we're on the fast track for it. So based on what we're seeing and hearing and know that's taking place, It's staggering to the imagination. It should be exciting to the Christian to realize God's word is leaping off the pages in everyday news. But as Ezekiel said in Ezekiel 33:10, how should we then live? What are your recommendations from a Christian perspective? How should we live? Those that are listening today that are Christians, conservatives, and perhaps otherwise, what is the message from this broadcast today of how we should live and what we should do as Christians and conservatives?
Dr. Youngblood, we should do exactly what Jesus told us to do. The Lord God uttered his voice and said, "Children, go where I send thee and build me a nation where my people can worship me freely in spirit and in truth." And people primarily from Europe came to these shores and started building this nation based on Christian principles and preaching the gospel to the native Indians who were here at the time. And God prospered and blessed this great nation. He truly shed his grace on this nation whose destiny is to preach the gospel to a lost and dying world. So what should we do now as Christians? We should do exactly what Jesus told us to do. He said, preach the gospel, preach the good news, and make disciples of people. When you preach the gospel, that is the power of God unto salvation. The good news that Jesus is alive, that he's on the throne, that he will save you from your sins. He will save you from God's wrath, not the devil's wrath. It's God's wrath. He will save you from that because of your sin. And so you preach that good news that Jesus is alive. And when someone says, how do you know? You say, he told me. And they'll say, when did he tell you? And then you give your testimony. Mm-hmm. You give your testimony that of how Jesus saved you. And that person who accepts that is now a disciple for you to be able to encourage them in their walk. That's what we should do as Christians right now, Dr. Youngblood. It's preach the gospel. People you come in touch with, let them know Jesus is alive. He is our Lord and Savior. And that is what we should be looking up to. Look, raise your eyes to the hills. That's where your help comes from, the Lord God Almighty.
Amen. And one of the things that, Congressman, I can wrap up with, God's not given us a spirit of fear. We need to faith him. And just as the workers with Nehemiah, they were working with a trowel in one hand, a sword in the other hand. And Nehemiah said in Nehemiah 4:20, our God shall fight for us. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us. Congressman Hill, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.